Vai lapapus, woe to me that I'm in jail for what? For a few shmalaras, for what? For a few dollars. Vei, vei, vei. And you'll find throughout the Talmud that the Talmud always uses the phrase on Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. Happy are you, Rabbi Akiva. Another reason why Rabbi Akiva is the hallmark of the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva, so to speak, guessed wrongly with Bar Kokhba. One would think that after such an event, he would lay low. He would give up hope. Imagine if you invest everything that you have in one thing and it fails so miserably. And yet you find, so Rabbi Akiva says, listen, if he's not the Mashiach, but there is a Mashiach. If it's not him, it'll be somebody else. If God didn't help us now, he'll help us next time. And we find that every time Rabbi Akiva meets with his colleagues and they bemoan the fate of Jerusalem, the Talmud says that they came to the Temple Mount and they saw the foxes and the jackals on top of the mountain, and they saw the destruction that Hadrian had wrought there. So they all wept. The great men of Israel broke down and wept. He said a place, a holy of holies, where only the high priest of Israel could enter once a year, and now there are foxes, there are jackals, anybody can run there. And Rabbi Akiva laughed. Rabbi Akiva said, now that you see that the verses in Tanakh that foretell our destruction are not exaggerated. There's not one word in Tanakh that is exaggerated. That's poetic license. You see that every word that the Ribbono Shel Olam said would happen, did happen. So he said, so the other part of the verse will also come true. It's also not exaggerated. The redemption of Israel is not a dream. It's a reality. Jews are not allowed to give up hope. If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen later. But it certainly will happen. And so therefore, Rabbi Akiva is the bulwark of strength at the time of the destruction of the Jewish people. He is the only one that doesn't weep. Rabbi Akiva metzachek, Rabbi Akiva laughs. Also, a part of the popularity I feel of Rabbi Akiva, they're all, you know, it's not, I just want to try and give you an understanding of how Chazal, the stories that Chazal tell us about him. Rabbi Akiva begins as a terribly poor person, an impoverished person, who for the first part of his life is a shepherd, which in the time of the Talmud was the lowest of all professions. The Talmud tells us that, for instance, a shepherd was not even presumed to be a truthful person, could not be a witness or a judge on a court. It was, I don't know what, Lahavlis, you know, the used car salesman of the time, right? It didn't have a high reputation. And Rabbi Akiva's poor. He has nothing to eat in all the years in the yeshiva. And he has nothing to leave for his wife. His wife has to engage in all sorts of degrading occupations in order to support herself and the children. And the father-in-law cuts them off from the great wealth. And at the end, Rabbi Akiva is the wealthiest man in Israel. And Gemara tells us three sources that he acquired great wealth. First of all, the father-in-law, like all fathers-in-law, doesn't live forever. A fact that many people prefer to forget. So when Kalba Savua died, he got the money anyway. Which is always one of the the strange, Chazal almost say it as a mockery, one of the strange punishments of wealthy people is that they don't know how to deal with it in their family. And therefore what happens is that you have estranged generations, you have children that almost, God forbid, they're waiting for the old man to go.